If you are visiting with us for the first time, you're a newcomer. I know we don't have these in seat pockets near you any longer because we don't have seat pockets in our facility. So we do have these newcomer cards. We'll be glad to put those in your hands after service. We do have a gift for you just for visiting with us today. And if you're one of our regular attenders and you have a bulletin, and you all should have one, at the bottom is a connect card. I encourage you to fill that out. You should fill that out weekly if you want me to pray for you. And I'll put those up. Some weeks I have 2 or 3. Some weeks I have 20. And I just love the opportunity to pray for you or with you about whatever's going on in your life. If you are participating in our capital campaign, thank you so much for your involvement. Please, you can begin to send those gifts in as you prescribed in your commitment card. And if you've not yet received one of those, we do have commitment cards like this out in the foyer if you'd like to grab and pray about your involvement there. All right, how many of you have your Bibles? Would you hold them up? Put it down. Larkin Jenkins came and gave me a word during worship. And he said, it was a word from God, and I really believe it's from the Lord. He said that the devil's been throwing things in your path, trying to trip you up, trying to stop your progress. But the Lord wanted me to tell you that those things are just creating a foundation. So when you get to where you're going, it's going to be even better than you thought. It's a great word. Thank you, Lord. So when he said it to me, as soon as he walked off, the Lord reminded me of a story. And I wasn't going to tell the story, but I really feel like the story is for somebody in here this morning. There was a man who had a donkey, and the donkey fell into a hole on his property. The man tried everything in his power to get the donkey out of the hole. Tried winches and hoist, and he could not get the donkey out of the hole. So he said, since all has failed, I'm just going to go ahead and bury the poor donkey right in the hole. And he began to scoop dirt and throw it down in the hole. And as the dirt began to pile up, the donkey would just step up onto the dirt that had piled up. And after quite a few hours of the man throwing the dirt and the donkey stepping up onto the dirt under him, the donkey eventually stepped out of the hole and walked on. And the Lord said to me just then during worship, he said, the things that are trying to bury you, you're going to step on and move out. And you get to the other side. Don't allow the things the enemy is putting on top of you to bury you. Shake them off and step up. Come on. Somebody got to shake it off and step up. Hold up your mouth. Oh, Father, your word is alive, Jesus. We trust it. We put our hope and our faith in it today. And once again, God, our hearts are ready to hear it and receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I started a message series last week called Joy is Yours with Jesus. I'm preaching through the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians, as you well hopefully know, was written by the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was in a prison cell at the time of the writing of Philippians. Now, how many of you have ever been in prison? Don't listen. Probably shouldn't ask that question. All right, imagine this. We've all seen prison cells on TV, and it's a little square with some concrete walls and a stainless steel bed and a toilet and a sink and maybe a mirror if you're lucky and bars, right? I mean, to kind of describe what the jail cells might look like today. But in the Apostle Paul's day, the jail cell that he was in the floor wasn't clean. Wasn't even concrete, it was dirt. And it was a hole in the ground. It was a dungeon. And they placed him down in this hole in the ground. Not much light came in the dungeon. It was smelly. It was wet. By the way, there was no toilet in the room. If you needed to use the bathroom, you just went to an opposite side of the room and used it over there. And so your refuse was with you day and night. The flies, the rats, it was disgusting. It was cold and smelly. And yet, the Apostle Paul writes the book of Philippians. The book of joy from this prison cell. You get it, right? Now you kind of understand. You got the context. I love it because the book of Philippians is chock full of truth about living in and with the joy of the Lord. Even when your circumstances are telling you something else. Now that's the problem. Is we, many times in our lives, we allow our circumstances to dictate our mood. We allow our circumstances to whether we're happy or we're sad, right? If things are going well in your life, the wife is treating you good, work is treating you good, sales are up, you know, all those kind of things, then you got a big smile on your face, you come to church on Sundays, how you doing? Blessed. But when things are bad, you most of the time you don't even come to church when things are bad, which is the greatest, craziest thing in the world. I would be running to church when things are bad, not running away, right? Because this is where my help and my hope is. So, anyway, just a thought for you guys who run away. And we allow our circumstances to dictate whether we're happy or we're sad. If things are good, we're happy. If things are not so good, we become sad or some other emotion. Joy is different than being happy or being sad. Joy, because joy is not an effect of something. Joy is a cause. See, we have joy because the Holy Spirit lives in us. See the cause? The cause is because I have accepted Jesus. And because I made that step one day, God deposited in my spirit His Spirit that now lives in me, and part and parcel of His Spirit is this thing called joy. Yes. And it doesn't say when things are good. It doesn't say we don't have it when things are bad. It says it's there because it's the fruit. It's the physical manifestation of His Spirit that lives in you. By the way, His Spirit doesn't take vacations when things are bad. Turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. We'll go over here. I think there they are. In Galatians chapter 5, we won't get into the whole thing, but just before verses 22 and 23, it talks about what the fruit of the flesh, or what the manifestation of our flesh looks like. But here in verse 22, he begins to talk about what the fruit of the Spirit, or the manifestation, the physical manifestation of God's Spirit in you looks like. This is what it looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-faithfulness and self-control, right? And he says, against such things there is no law. He said, I put these things in you, and there are no fleshly limitations to them. They're there at your disposal every day. Here's the word, no matter what. Say, we say, no matter what.
No matter what.
Now, if you do not have Christ, if Jesus is not Lord and Savior of your life, then you do not own what I'm talking about. You do not have it. Now, you're bound to imitations. Imitations like happiness or sadness or a host of other emotions that can mimic the fruit of the Spirit, but they're temporary because they're temporal. And they come and they go based on the happenings around us. Last week I talked to you about the fact that we can have joy because Jesus always finishes what He starts. And I know that most of us, I would say 99.9% of us in the room, are not where we want to be. Anybody where you want to be? No. How many of you are not where you used to be? Right? Are y'all raise your hand there? And we're not where we used to be because God is working on us. Say, God is working on us. Let's see. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2, and we will study here in Philippians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, writing in Philippians 2, says these words in verse 1. Therefore, I love the Lord, therefore. What's it therefore, right? We have to ask ourselves. He's therefore to remind you of what he just talked about in chapter 1. In chapter 1, he just talked about the fact that what God starts, he finishes. Therefore, listen to me, here's what he says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Today I want to talk to you about the fact that humility is the pathway to joy. Anybody in here want to live in joy? I want to live in it every day, no matter what's happening around me. Whether things are good out there or not, I want to have the joy of the Lord. Jesus himself said these words. We're going to look at them in a minute. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that who Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Now imagine, I don't think any of us are walking toward the cross, right? None of us are going to be crucified on a cross today and beat within an inch of our lives. And yet Jesus says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. The first thing I want you to know about living in joy, if you want to live in joy, you need to be encouraged. Look what it says in Philippians 2:1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ. Listen, the word encouragement there in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, is the Greek word paraklesis. And it means to comfort or consolation or exhortation. I told you last week that we are and you are all God's favorite. So look at your neighbor and say, I'm God's favorite. See, you don't even say it like you think you know you mean it. See, I can say, Tony, I'm God's favorite. Tony believes it. I believe it. Vicky, I'm God's favorite, right? But you are too. We all are God's favorite. And we have to remember that because that encouragement alone is what will keep you walking in joy. The fact, think about this, that the King of Kings deems you worthy to die for you should give you great comfort and consolation. So often we think we're being judged. And we think somehow the things we've done, some of them pretty bad, somehow disqualify us from the love of God. How could this God, the creator of heaven and earth, possibly love me? I don't even like me. I do like me, by the way. I don't get that. I'm just saying. Here's the question. Are you united with Christ? When you're united with Christ, you've asked Jesus to save you from it. You've gotten to the place where you said yes to Jesus Christ. You've asked him to come into your heart and save you. You've repented. You've changed your mind. You've changed your ways. And you begin to walk with him the rest of your life. That's being united with Christ. The only way to be in Christ is to humble yourself before him. So humility really is the pathway to joy because we have to first humble ourselves in order to be in Christ, right? So be encouraged. If you've already done that, if you've already made that step and you already are a Christian, you call yourself a Christian, then you and Jesus are united with Christ. And listen to me, nothing can break that. If you want to live in and with the joy of the Lord, you need to think like Jesus. So how is that going to happen? I'm not God in the flesh. Philippians 2:2 says, Paul saying, then make my joy complete, being like-minded, having the same love, being in one in spirit and of one mind. Paul's not talking about with him. Don't be in one mind with me. Be in one mind with Christ. Paul here is reminding the Philippian church to we should have the mind of Christ. If you're in Christ, you have the mind of Christ. You have the heart of God in you. You should be knowing and understanding what God wants and what God desires in your life. One mind. Not thinking like the world. Not thinking like your old self. In order to have the mind of Christ, you must have Christ, right? Remember, his mindset was always one of acceptance, forgiveness, and love. Our mindset's based on the fruit of our sinful nature of exclusion, grudges, and hate. Think about the world we live in. It's all we see in the news. Exclusion, grudges, hate. People shooting each other up, killing each other for no reason, just because they're mad at somebody. Listen, if you find yourself struggling or to accepting or struggling to forgive or struggling to love, you might not be in Christ. I'm just saying. Because the very nature of Almighty God is one of acceptance, forgiveness, and love. He looks at you and he says, I accept you just like you are. I love you with all my heart. I love you just like you are. I want you and I to be together forever, for eternity. Can you imagine that? This is, again, the Apostle Paul writing the book of Hebrews, I believe. And he writes to them, and he just comes out of chapter 11. And in chapter 12, verse 1, he says, therefore, remember, we have to always ask ourselves, what's this therefore, when you see that? And he's reminding them, he says, therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, all the people he talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, this hall of faith, so to speak, all those people, since we're surrounded by them, since so many of them have gone before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy of scorning and shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, he endured. For the joy set before you, you can endure whatever it is you're going through because Jesus died for you. If I said earlier in the service, if God never does another thing for me, I can always go back to that one thing. The big thing. The only thing that really matters in light of eternity, the one thing. He went to a cross and he died for me. Hey, listen. He died for you too. Listen, if Jesus could have the joy of the Lord walking toward the cross, then you and I could have the joy of the Lord as we walk through the little stuff. Because I don't think any of us are going to a cross. Amen. Right? And thank God we don't have to. Number three, we're going to live in and with the joy of the Lord. We need to live a generous life. Philippians 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. How do you value others above yourself? You become generous with your time for others. How do you manage your time for others? Do you go out of your way to help others? Do you go out of your way to listen? Do you go out of your way to be there for somebody else? Here's the thing, without a motive, without an expectation of return, you need to be valuable with your talents. What has God placed in you that's unique? What has God put in you that's different than others? You know, one of the things God has not placed in me is the ability to sing. Some of y'all can sit down next to me and you can listen. And I love to sing because I love music, but it's just not one of my talents. But some of you folks who have those talents, Kevin and Carlin and Jessica, you guys are singing this morning just so beautiful, right? God has placed talent in you. And that talent, listen to me, it ain't for you. It's for them and for him. If God placed gifts and talents in every one of you, and maybe it's not all singing, but it could be playing, it could be writing, it could be composing, it could be doing something else. Maybe you're a great athlete. Are you doing it for yourself, or are you doing it for the glory of God? All you little football players back there. We need to be generous with our treasure. Is your money yours, or is your money there for you to bring glory to God? You know, right there, see? It says Eddie Swan on the check. That means it's mine. I can do what I want. And yeah, you can. But God doesn't give us the treasure that we have so that we can hoard it. He doesn't give it to us so that we can. He gives it to us so that we can glorify him. How are we glorifying God with our treasure? When was the last time you did something for someone without an expectation of it? No, I don't want anything for it. I just want to help. Jesus always went out of his way to help others. Here are a few examples. Once he was at a wedding with some friends. The bride's father ran out of wine, which was that was like a big no-no in that time. And Jesus takes some jars of water and turns them into wine. He stops his good time at the wedding. He stopped dancing and doing the shuffle so that he could, he's probably doing the shuffle or something like that. And he stopped to help the father of the bride turn water into wine. He went out of his way to do that. Another time, while he was teaching in a remote place, he allowed the hunger pains of the people that were present to stop him and feed them. He fed 5,000 people. He stopped what he was doing to feed 5,000 people. He could have said, hey, you guys, go back to town and go take care of yourself. And good luck. We'll carry this on later on. But no, he stopped and he fed them. Another time when Jesus was riding in a boat with his disciples, and he was trying to take a little beauty nap between gigs. He was going from one thing to another, and he was taking a nap, and the waves were kind of rough. His disciples were freaking out, and they were like, Jesus, we're going to die. He woke up, calmed the seas, went back to sleep. I mean, but he was always willing to go out of his way to help somebody, right? We need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit in us. There was another time Jesus was teaching. He was in a situation like this, and he was in the middle of preaching to a group of people in a home, and some people lower a guy on a mat right there in front of him. He stopped his preaching, healed the guy, and continued on. And he was always willing to be generous with his time for others. He valued others. He was generous with his life. And number four is, if we're going to live this life in joy, we have to. Philippians 2:4 says, not looking to our own interest, but each of you looking to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Christ in regard to his friends? Well, let's see. He provided for them, healed them, saved them, loved them, even when they betrayed him. How about you? In your relationships, do you have the same mindset as Jesus? When your friends hurt you or betray you, are you quick to forgive them? Make allowances for your family members when they hurt you? The mindset of Jesus was, above all else, forgiveness. How many of you find it hard to forgive people? Well, it's beautiful. A lot of us do, you know, because we feel some justification holding a grudge. We feel some justification, like we're keeping them in check. We're not letting them off the hook when we hold a grudge. The mindset of Jesus was, above all else, forgiveness. Think about this. He looked at you, he looked at me, and he said, I'm going to die for you. Just like you are. Now he can say, go clean up your act first. Get your right. Maybe I'll die. No, he died while we were still sinners. That's what Romans 5:8 says, right? Look what Paul wrote to us in Colossians about forgiving one another. Colossians 3:12. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, here's the phrase, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I've thought about that verse a lot of times in my walk with God. And I don't know about you, but when I came to Christ and I said yes to Christ, I had, and I call it the laundry list of sin, right? And if you were to stretch my sin out on a scroll, it would probably go down out the door, probably all the way out to 23rd Avenue and keep going across the street, because that's how big it was. And God said to me, the moment I accepted him, he tore it up in little pieces and threw it away. And I'm to extend the same level of forgiveness. You and I are to extend the same level of forgiveness to those who hurt us. The problem with accepting one another, forgiving one another the way God forgave us, is that we don't know how to love the way Jesus loves. See, the way that Jesus loves is a love called agape love. That's unconditional. That's love without conditions. That's not love based on feelings. See, we all associate love with feelings because we get those feelings. How many of you remember falling in love with your spouse? Sweaty palms and butterflies in your tummy, and you were like, "Ooh, you guys were nervous, couldn't wait, right?" You washed the car and put on your best clothes to go pick her up the first time. I don't think I even had a car. See, we associate love with those feelings. because we felt that. But here's the problem. What happens when the feelings are gone? Bring back that love and feeling. I'll check this thing. I'll bust it on right now. When those feelings subside, then what? Then love is a choice. And that's what agape love is. Agape love is a choice. Look what 1 Corinthians 13 says about love. Do we have it? There it is. No. Do we have it? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8? There it is. Thank you. Love is patient and kind, and it doesn't envy or boast, and it's not proud or rude. It's not self-seeking or easily angered. And here's the thing, ladies, remember this. And it keeps no record of wrong. Remember back in 1986, what you did to me? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects and trusts and hopes, and it always perseveres, and it goes on to say, love never fails, because agape love can't fail. You know why? Because it's a choice. And that's the way Jesus loves us. He chose to love others, and that's the way that someone's going to know that you're in Christ more than any other reason, is that you know how to love them. Old poem, I'll be getting close to the end here. Old poem I heard years ago, and I found it again on the internet, and I don't know who the author was, so I can't quote it, but it's what it says. To live above with the saints that I love, wouldn't that be glory? But to live here below with those that I know, well, that's another story. Right? And the problem is we allow our differences to cause us to hate. We allow our differences to cause us to not be in fellowship and with in relationship with other people. And Jesus said, look, I want you to love like I love you. You choose to love. Differences and all. What if the church began to love like that? You think this world around us might see a difference? You think this world around us might begin to change? If we can't do it, how in the world are they going to do it? It's got to start somewhere, and I'm willing for it to start with me. Amen? And then finally, we need to learn to walk in our new identities. We're going to live until we need to learn to walk in our new identities. Philippians 2:9 says, therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name. Now, I said a little while ago, if you call Jesus Savior, if he's Lord and Savior of your life, then you're a Christian, right? You have Christ, and Christ has you. You're united with Christ. And if you're united with Christ, you have just put on the name that is above every name. It says that at the name of Jesus, everything in heaven, on earth, and under the earth will bow. For you too. Because you have Christ. One of our core values here at New Beginnings is we value Jesus. And I think you have to ask me, why don't you put that in there? Why do you put that as a core value? It's our number one core value. You know why? Because Jesus is the greatest name ever given. It's the only name given under heaven by which man must be saved. I want you to know the name Jesus is an important name. We're going to say the name Jesus. We're going to proclaim the name Jesus. We're going to love Jesus in this place until he comes back. Amen? Your new name is Christian. You have Jesus. Quit believing the lie that you're unloved, unwanted, rejected, addicted, dead-end loser with no hope for a future. Because as a child of God, as a chosen child of the Most High God, you are chosen. Listen, you're chosen. You're loved with an everlasting love. You have a hope and a future. You ain't addicted to nothing but Jesus. And the only thing that you can, don't allow those things in the world to pull you down. You don't have to be, you don't have to succumb to that any longer. You are a child of the Most High God. Your past does not define you. You have a hope and a future. Amen? I sent this to a young man that I know. been through some addiction in his life. And I saw this one day on the internet, and I sent it to him in a text. And I want to share with you today, I think it's important. It said, never be a prisoner of your past. It was a lesson, not a life sentence. Some of you have allowed your past to be a life sentence, and you can't walk free because you don't know how to let it go. And Jesus is saying to you today, it's time for you to let your past go and walk in the freedom that I bought and paid for on Calvary's cross. If you're a believer, you're a creation, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And if you're a new creation, that means all things about you have become new. You're holy. You're righteous. You're a child of God, completely loved and completely forgiven. Would you stand up with me? Come on. Humility is the pathway to joy. If you want to live in joy, humble people are encouraged. Humble people think like Jesus. Humble people live a generous life. Humble people value others. And humble people walk in their new identity. Those of you who want to experience joy, want to walk in joy, we're just going to find a place here up at the stage, up in front of the altar here, and we're going to pray for you. I'm going to squeeze it all tight. Just get as close as you can. Don't be afraid of the person next to you. That won't bite. Hard. Imagine just for a minute, just imagine that you people here at the altar this morning are saying, God, you know what? I want your joy. I want your joy to fill me so that no matter what it is that I'm going through, no matter how bad it may seem, no matter how difficult it may look today, I'm going to walk with a smile on this face. Because this smile is not because of what's happening out here. This smile is because of what's happening in here. And I'm going to let the people that I come in contact with see and experience Jesus in a real, tangible way. Imagine if we go to our workplaces like that. How about this? Better than that. How about if you just go to your homes like that? How about if you go to your families like that? And begin to see Jesus in you, guys. We can change this world one soul at a time. Raise your hands to Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus, we come before you, Father, just asking you to just touch us and fill us with your presence right now. God, we know that we can't do this on our own, that our flesh wants and desires something that is contrary to what the Spirit has for us. And right now, we just give you ourselves. We say, God, we surrender. We surrender to you, asking you to fill us with your love. Fill us with your acceptance. Fill us with the ability to love others the way that you love us. I think about those words in Colossians that we're to forgive as we've been forgiven. We're to bear with each other and forgive one another. God, you said if any of us has a grievance against someone, forgive them. And right now, I pray that if you have some grievance against somebody, you are letting it go right now. You can make amends with them later today, but right now, you are letting it go. The ability to walk this walk that you've called us to, in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Don't forget, invite somebody to church.